welcome to the DCG and all the officials from the department, members of the commission and you're welcome. I'm sure that it is going to close the door, but I am initially committed to the chair of the trade and international commission. This is the first time we meet in this
the only problem is they are not recorded because they are speaking in the rest. Let me just speak in a microphone if you get them something. Thank you.
Today, we must do our best to try and move forward on this issue.
so that next time we meet, we meet at the casino. That's where we meet. GDG, the soldiers.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and then good morning again to the members of Parliament. Chair, we obviously take that this is a refresher to the meeting because we've done the briefing already to the committee. So we'll just take you through briefly so that we don't get into too much detail, but allow sufficient time for the committee to actually engage on the content of the issues that we're putting through to you. And as we indicated the last time when we came here, was this just to the purpose of our presentation was to apply the committee of the outcome of the Gambling Review Commission. Everyone is aware the commission worked very hard to come up with some report that could give some guidance. And we've indicated that the recommendations that are in the report that were made by the commission are not necessarily the recommendation of the department. So we may very well not agree with a number of them in there. We may agree with some of the recommendations, but the department will make its own position as it goes forward in terms of implementing, guided by Parliament in terms of what Parliament says is the way forward. So I just want to reiterate that, Chair, so that I think our purpose and the status of this report is vis-à-vis the department, that it should be, you know, this is a commission report. What we're just saying is to indicate to the committee that the commission this effects assessment study, and we say that there are important things that have come out of it, and I think the purpose of it as well was made very clear for Parliament. So, and the Commission did not deviate from that particular mandate, and we think that they've done a very good job, and within the time that we had allocated to them. I think, Chair, you know that a lot of commissions become an institution. They take years and years. Our approach to the department is that we don't want the institutions, we just want the work. We want something to be given to us so that we can start moving in terms of implementation as opposed to creating institutions that just interrogate aspects and not coming to a conclusion. Chair, some of the members have been introduced here. I think it's just proper for me to indicate that our regulator, which is the National Gambling Board, is here with us. And to the extent that there may be questions that relate to implementation, I think we'll solicit their assistance in responding to some of those questions. And we do acknowledge and thank that they are here. I haven't been the chairperson, but this person is supposed to be joining Professor Linda Dietrich. She'll be joining as well. Okay. I have already briefly indicated really what the purpose of the review was. Chair, you've already touched on it. When we came to Parliament to deal with the regulations relating to international gambling, a number of concerns were raised in regard to where exactly is gambling in this country going. And on that basis, the department was instructed to go and look at where we at. And so in order to do that in an objective way, the Minister commissioned the Gambling Review Commission to look holistically at industry since 1996, but also to look to assess the social and economic impact of the industry, but also the effectiveness of the measures that we put in place in the legislation to mitigate some of the negatives that could flow out of gambling. I think while we can accept that there's a whole lot of information regarding the economic impact, we can really point to job creation, we can point to a number of things that are really positive, but I think what we are not able to get at any given time is the social impact. And I think you would note also that even with the gambling review process, that part, although it was looked at, it has not been looked at that much, I think, to the satisfaction of the department, perhaps also because of the limitation of time to go into those issues, but I think it's also around the limitation of information that is available around those issues. But we do think that the information that the commission did gather is sufficient to at least make a decision on. We can determine some issues, and we can defer, and we can make decisions based on that. There is a need, obviously, to further interrogate some of the issues through research, and some of the things, since we were here the last time, there are some of the things that we have gone back to do some further research on. And that's work in progress, and that's a 10% of our daily loss, and our national giving board assist in that regard. Chair, also one of the concerns that was raised was around the proliferation, and particularly arising from a number of loopholes that exist in the framework, which allow for a number of other activities that find themselves on the ground without proper regulation or without a proper framework. And but also, some of the gaps were created by the fact that the legislation did not really make provision for technological advancement. So there isn't like provisions that really deal with that part. And as a result, then you find that as the technology develops, as the industry wants to adapt to a number of other things to become more efficient in running their businesses, that the law at times does not allow for that. But that is not to say that every technological development that day must be allowed. But at least we do believe that the legislation must make provision for that kind of assessment of those new developments and for somebody to give a go, a way forward and a go ahead to the industry without having to change the legislation each and every time. So we do believe that those gaps were identified there. But the Parliament in particular was concerned about the framework, that there are a number of gaps that are allowing for proliferation and which is a concern. And also wanted the Commission to look at the regulatory bodies that are there and see if they are achieving their legislative objectives. So this is particularly important because the cooperative governance between the provinces and the national obviously is guided by the Constitution and the structures in place, but we needed to also look at whether the structures are effective to really ensure that we are regulating everything in the right way. So the Commission has looked into that as well. Finally, we also requested the Commission to benchmark with other countries, and they had to fit to determine which countries that they would choose to benchmark with, but also why they choose those countries, and also ensure that they have a mix of countries, but that they do not look at countries that have no similarities really in terms of South Africa, in terms of economy, in terms of social setup, and also taking into account the levels of poverty and where people are in terms of the So those are the things that we ask the Commission to look at. So, just for the sake of just order on our side, I have to go and attend a press briefing with the Minister on the Business Act, which we are currently reviewing. The bill has been approved by Cabinet for public consultation, so the Minister is doing a press briefing on that. So I'm going to step out and hand over to McDonald, and then I'll join the committee immediately after the press briefing, which I think will take about 30 minutes.
Sometimes we conflate the two, but these are the issues that we're dealing with. the commission opines that the current position of interactive gaming is undesirable, as it fails to offer protection to the South African hunters, and then it recommended the regulation of online gambling as opposed to interactive gambling. We will engage on that. And then the regulation, the banks argue that it will be difficult to distinguish between legal and illegal gambling transactions. Maybe I should reread it. The institutions in South Africa are saying, let's just leave the issue of online gambling because we cannot enforce. That is the institutions in South Africa, the banks. And then the regulation of online gambling will require the appointment of cyber inspectors. In another meeting with the portfolio committee, a workshop was called. It was convened. All people who came to the think here were invited to the CI from the intellectual property situation. And then the communication department, the DDG, I've forgotten his name, was here. He confirmed that they don't have cyber inspectors. So therefore, what it means is that our government, if we own the state, there is no inspector. So physical letters to Zimbabwe and to Mozambique, we may be able to border police in the land, but not in the state environment. That's what it means. And then, betting exchange is another form of this issue. Strict adherence to the FICA will be needed to eliminate money laundering. That's the point I've already today. We don't have capacity. I'm happy on this issue delivery so that we can talk about it. Round raising, these are jobs in the government. The Commission recommended prohibition of ground raising and that if it allies, there should be strict enforcement of animal welfare regulation. In our meeting, in that workshop, the follow-up, it was very clear that maybe the welfare, what is the animal, the sticky, that one, it needs to be reconciled with this one because there are huge gaps. Sometimes they need to enforce, but I think the safety is not within the jurisdiction of the police. So we need to reconcile our legislation in gambling as well as that one. And then another issue is that why do we deal only with dogs? What about all the animals? Mind you, we are talking about proliferation of gambling, but sometimes it may be unconstitutional to choose only one animal, as I said earlier. There's cockerel is the male of the hand. Yeah, that one. So all those issues we need to reconcile. Which animal we want to play with. At the same time, what are the systems in place when they retire? Because maybe they need to retire at an infancy. And then to have the rehabilitation program. So, all in all, is that the regulatory framework generally it says oversight role of the current gambling board should be removed and replaced by auditors of provincial. That was the recommendation. We will talk to you later. Further, some of the proposals can be put forward are resisted to the provincial regulator. The regulators are here. They will also talk to you, resulting in a failure to implement. So we are implicating the authorities so that we have several opportunities. While provincial regulators are successful in enforcing complaints, the same leaders, operators complain about lack of regulatory authority across provinces. Uniformity should be encouraged. And then auditors will audit provincial regulators for compliance with the national norms and standards. Maybe here I can take a step backwards to say it is becoming very difficult or it is very apparent that we are running how the unitary state, we are running a process in this area only. Not addressing other issues. We are running province A is different from province B. And then we don't have norms like that. As per the definition, we should have certain norms like that. The distance act that the DDG describes now deals with the issue of, example, in the area of laws, in the area of a league, as an example, a board, little board, provincial one, can give a license. This is contrary to the municipal law, the zoning requirements, as an example. Even if you have sort of the recommendation in Metro A, in Metro B, you go to Metro B, you find a different scenario. So therefore, as an element, we are requesting that maybe you should impose yourself as a citizen, that we should come with norms and standards. And later, we are trying to do that in gambling, it should be imposed by yourself, so that we must have little norms and standards. The rest you can deviate, but the minimum threshold should not be undermined. I think that's what we are talking about. And then, National Gambling Policy Council, as you know, there is a structure that meets with the minister, and the structure consisting of the MECs relevant to this matter, and the minister. But it does not have the same legal responsibility. They may agree there, and then it may be undermined, as I said, by provincial because they have the legislative power to legislate for themselves. We have the National Charter Board, same issues were raised. And then there are recommendations. Cooperative governance in terms of the Constitution Act is important. I think it's starting to say, talk to cooperative governance. In terms of the Constitution, we have the great tier of government, and then before we go to court to see we must there is a section in the Constitution, we must start to discuss among ourselves. But it seems as if this provision is not taken care of per se, and we see this provision doing whatever they want in terms of the act of court. So therefore, I'm not here to express this, but I'm just emphasizing the issue of mountain fire. Access to gambling venues needs to be for our nights if problem gambling is to be combated. So malls are mushrooming everywhere, and then they are very close to this gambling activity, are very close to malls, and then minors therefore easy access, and therefore it undermines our intention. Education and awareness is a problem. Single regulator for online gambling will talk to this issue. Online gambling should be regulated, as for now, there is no regulation. As we said, electronic bingo terminals should be allowed only if they maintain. They have already said, electronic bingo terminals must have limits. In the event of greyhound racing, we have already talked about it. Online gambling should also be regulated. So, that's what we told the Honorable Committee last year. And these are some of the issues that now, as a department, after having read the report, after having read what the Portfolio Committee has said, these are our initial teeth. Without preempting your decision, we are emphasizing that we would like you to talk to the issues in the report. But these are the initial things from the department. The proposal for Lotharis to contribute 0.01% of gross revenue to the national responsible gambling program does not take into account the continued distribution needs by lottery to good cause organizations, including rehabilitation centers. In other words, there is a feeling from stakeholders that a lottery should contribute also 0.01% of its total revenue. But this one is reminding to say, by the way, Lotto has a similar program. So much that it would be maybe double taxation. I'm just talking about the national policy framework on electronic bingo terminals should be developed before provinces can roll out CBT. and there are provinces. Now, before I come to that, the MECs and the minister, that means Service Council, they meet and try to come with the standards or non-standard standards. But take care that the national government and the emphasize the issue of socio-economic impact. But the synthesis of the provinces is the other way around. They're looking at the one of the revenue streams. So there is a conflict in between. But we need to reconcile that. So all in all is that the EBT, a decision was taken in that institution to say, let's wait for this gambling report to be considered by this house as well as the portfolio committee, and then we then come with a policy, and that policy should be broad enough to include the issue of electronic input terminals. That was the decision. But at the same time, you may hear something advertised to say the EBT rolled out province A or province B. So this is an indication that things are not holding. There is a need to revamp the National Road Racing Authority of South Africa, statutory, to be inclusive of all stakeholders involved in the industry. The National Road Racing Authority is in existence. I would advise that it is only in the preamble. However, the rest is very informal. We should be the member in the life. And things are not always there. Other people are claiming labor issues that they are being ill-fitted and the like. So all in all, what we are saying is that when we finish this process, we should be presenting organizations the way how we feel as Parliament, how they can be effective, not just to adopt things that have been in existence for time immemorial, just to only one subsector within the business. So therefore, let's revamp it. Let's pay attention to this organization. Online gambling should be legislated in order to accommodate the demand and enforce against illegal operators that can be self-explanatory. Online gambling should be regulated nationally by the National Gambling Board with an agreed revenue sharing model with provinces. During the development of the norms and standards, this issue, I think, there was a lot of sensitive agreement to say let's move to this direction. The issue of the cyber inspectors, in other words, this issue of internet downloading, all those issues, money laundering through those gadgets, including maybe terrorism, if you hear the good news between the U.S. and China, always in the news. The Chinese will care about it. The Americans, meaning the U.S., will go up and down. But it is something that the Chinese have seen as an example. So we are talking about that environment. So money laundering may be a thing. So we are saying, let's come with a framework. The Inter-Ministerial Committee may be composed of our minister, that is the minister of DTI, because of the experience in the cyber area, like copyright at an international arena, like the World Trade Organization, the World Intellectual Property Organization. They have the regime of domain names, all those issues, so they can regulate that. And therefore, that's where our minister can come in. The Minister of Finance, because of the bank, who must run this institution in a coordinated way. The Minister of Communication, because of electronic comment translation as well, 2002, exercises that ministry. And therefore, we must have a reconciliation as one government. So therefore, it is saying our minister should coordinate. Cabinet should take a decision and then and therefore address the issue of e-commerce in this area. The uniformity across all provinces should encourage the DTI together with the staff will develop the norms and standards which might be affected in the implementation. National Gambling Policy Council should be professionalized to allow minister to take the decision if there is no quorum in the meeting. In other words, there was a problem here that this institution that we described, it is not correct for a long time, and the notices are taken. So the portfolio committee during the debate also discussed this issue to say, why can't we run it like a company in the area of shareholding? Many people may be shareholders. You are invited to the first meeting. You don't correct, no problem. It is bad. The next meeting, if people don't come, those who come are allowed to take the decision. So I think that's what it is proposed that the minister should do without you. The National Lottery Board, we have already talked about internal review mechanism, will be created within the National Lottery Board. I'm sorry to have asked the gambling board people about the National Lottery Board. By the way, in other jurisdictions, the issue of gambling and lottery is one major issue. In South Africa, we chose to defend it. So when we were dealing with the board, you find that sometimes we talk about the lotto, sometimes we talk about gambling, and the creating of the So the issue of National Lottery Board being professionalized and the resolution mechanism, we will see it recently. The lottery review policy is on the verge of going to cabinet. It may be approved at any time, and therefore you will hear the debate at maybe we can look at some of the issues that we can extract and push in the area of gambling. So generally, these were the policy gaps that after reading the strategy document without the MT, the engagement that you seek to have and your own decision, but we thought we can put them forward at a point of entry so that you can consider them. The last slide is talking about the members. I had somebody claiming that she was a member of that commission. Probably it's Adira, but I think I'm going to take it here. It is appointed in December 2009 for 5 months period. So it is coagulated to an institution. With a few words, it's the end of reminder. Just a reminder. So thanks a lot.
Thank you for those. Anyone from the board, joining the board, wish to share with us? That's a few words.
There's nothing much to share, Chairperson, because I believe we've got the weather with the sort of the trade and industry for a question.
Something that is very serious. On the one hand, the state meeting, President of the party was meeting, state minister. And your former president stood up in Madiba and scolded me for being there for 30 minutes. And then the chairperson at the time scolded both of them for taking too much time for 30 minutes. So they got fallen out. So apologies are just accepted in your hands. Honorable members, do you want to engage on the input? I'm must say to all members, as for comment, we have been raising this issue of the MLD for a long time, but all members will be implemented. We have been feeling that that is why the MLD could not be successful. I mean, people that were their own priorities were wet and so on. That's why the leaders won't call it. So we definitely think about this issue of all members and committees. Honourable members, I know that Luke, Honourable Sandin.
Your question, is it allowed to ask anybody of the back row to say something?
If you say just like honey, then
it's back row.
Yeah, we can allow them. We want a holistic approach. Do require that somebody please.
Chairperson, they are all present, so maybe they are present for the purpose. Is this allowed? May we please ask them to each say something short?
Can you please, Honourable Sandeep, say something very short? If you want to say something, because that I thought you'd say more especially the person from the responsible cabinet.
Can you just come to a microphone?
That can just be honored and sit next to the host, my host there.
My purpose here is always to observe and to see what the general sentiments are of the committees and Parliament towards the report. Ourselves, we find the report fairly favourable. There are a few issues which we'd be interested to see what Parliament thinks on. But at the moment, we just want to judge what people's concerns are and what the general sentiment is towards the GRB report. Thank
you.
Hi, Frank Govan, introduced myself earlier. We are in net debt, and my company is interested in the legislation of online gambling. We've been, I think we were South Africa's first online licensed bookmaker that only operates in respect of an online environment, and we've been throughout the process been following the review commission's report on how interactive gaming gets legalized, so I get to listen and understand. And obviously I'm always open to questions of any kind.
Which has I always
I'd like to say that I'm speaking in my personal capacity, but also with the background of having worked on this report. I think there's two issues that are important that were raised in the presentation. The one relating to the lock trees and the reason that it's referred to as part of it. I think the importance is that the lock tree is a part of gambling, and it's difficult to regulate one form of gambling without taking into consideration regulation of the other. And there are divergent ways of dealing with those, and that's been one of the challenges, especially in terms of the socio-economic implications. It's a complex area, and I think it's an important aspect to bear in mind. The second issue is related to the regulation of online gambling. This has been a very challenging area, but it's been something that has been going on for several years, and to date there's no effective regulation of the area. The danger is that it exposes members of the public to an unregulated environment, and even though it is well recognized that the banks might have challenges, the fact of the matter is they cannot at this stage prevent it from taking place. And that's the biggest issue. The way the best and biggest approach to deal with is to regulate the participants and the industry so that automatically you pull them into a regulated stream and that you regulate it in that manner. I'm also developed expertise in gambling law, so I've been following this process for several years, probably from the early 2000s when gambling law was introduced. So it's an area I've been following in detail, and that's the reason I'm here today. Not in my previous capacity, this was a one-year appointment, but thanks for the opportunity to allow us to speak.
Anyone want to take the other one from me? You take it.
I'm not saying
that. Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Chief. Let me start out to say that I think we're trying to engage on a very difficult element of the psyche of human beings. Not just this, but in general. And there's a trend in South Africa currently that we more and more want to regularize. If it's gambling, drinking, licenses, or whatever. Now, the critical issue is how do you do that? That's a subject you also to deal with this today. Now, unfortunately, the nature of man is the more you regularize, the more the human spirit wants to deregularize. So if you can close this gap, then you will do it on the other side. That is the nature of human beings. Now, there was Mr. McDonald, Mr. McDonald, Mr. Tenzin's got a very nice name. You can never forget this. The first one is the McDonald's, the other one is the Mr. Tenzin, which I won't forget. But the issue of strength is that comes to the fore in many of these presentations is the issue of the internet. Now, the difficulty is in a globalized world, how are you going to cut your borders with them? I don't know the answer. In a globalized world, how are you going to keep South Africa as an island? Also in terms of this debate. The Chinese, they do it when they say that their previous president or their previous premier is this wealth in the New York Times, they cut the borders and say half an hour later China is not supposed to know. But the difficulty is that as we speak now, the world over is flooded with interactive gambling. Now once again, how are you going to regulate that? That is a difficult issue. These other issues I think is on the periphery in terms of that is our challenge at the moment. I don't get that answer. Also I don't know that answer. The second issue that I want to raise here is that we're now in the year of 2013. The statistics that's been used here is it was in 2008. The report was completed in 2010. Now there were very definite trends in this. If I can just refer you to some of them, for instance, on page 75 of the document. You would see that gambling participation in South Africa, there was a drastic decline from 2001, for instance, to 2008, from about 72% to almost 41%. Now, you can only use this data if you can extract some very serious trends out of it. Now, the trend there is that there's a very serious decline in gambling and so on. The point that I want to make is, with due respect, I think the data is part of this self idea. 5 years down the line, it's all done. So now you want us to come bamboozle us here with all sorts of arguments, but you're done 5 years old. But I share the chairperson's sentiment to say that, you know, some of us might not be there next year or this portfolio or even in Parliament, or many of us, I don't know. But the reality is we need to finish this legislation. There, I agree with the chairperson. Then, on the issue about the regulators, page 101, I think that if you look at this, the quantum of the money that
that relates as questions the issue of problem care and so on. It remains a very small amount. It's very, very limited if you look at the industry. Now, I don't see as part of the recommendation, Mr. Sensitizer, that the government, which has got an obligation towards the people of this country, say, we must not. I honestly believe that it's a very, very serious issue in our society. There's some statistics that I read that shows that it's the poorest of the poor, the people that stay in the RDP houses, that is the highest potential gamers. But those are the people that are the least disposable income. So we must address that. Now that from a regulatory perspective, I believe that's something that we must push them. I mean, the capitalists are there, they're making all the profit every year. They post their financial statements, so why can't we have them more? It's part of being as responsible as South Africa, both of them. Then the second last issue, Jane, is I don't see anything about sports betting, or even betting in general. How much is the ANC going to get next year? How much is COP going to get? How much is... Are you creating a framework for betting, sports betting, also in this? I don't see it. I don't know if I've missed it. Then coming to the so-called policy gaps, the issue that has been raised here. I don't, with due respect, Mr. Stender, I don't understand the argument to say that you want to privatize or bring company law into this whole issue about the gambling council. I don't understand how you're going to achieve it, but moreover, to say that you will professionalize it, allow a minister to take a decision if there's no quorum at the meeting. You're not going to address that by professionalizing. Remember, the minister is an independent authority, many times the last appeal mechanism. How you want to come and sort of create a grey area between the council and the minister. I don't think that would be the intention. So maybe the wording is there, Robert. I can't agree with that. And that's it. Then I think it's called a general knowledge that all of us agree that the National Lottery Board must be sort of more involved. If they need to be full-time, then I think it would be a benefit to the people that are saying. Thank you, Chief. Any
member? Hello, colleague? Chief, listen to Scott, my colleague has given to me about a copy in two colour, and I don't have one. No, I've been discriminated against.
I think I have really the point that HRD is quite prepared to choose a colour.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to our committee secretary. You know, I think there are many issues to be addressed in this whole thing. And what is the purpose of this meeting? To approve or accept the report, or to accept the recommendations put in front of us this morning? Because from there we will continue.
Yeah, just to turn to that, I said that to the committee. We suppose to have inputs going through the report of the commission. It's either today you are free to have the inputs today, verbally, or we can write them and actually submit them. But what we want to do, we say in this term, we want to, you know, do our inputs, finish it. So today we can do it. If you have inputs, say them, suggestions verbally, or if you still have some time to let them, that's okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to ask why greyhound betting is different from racehorse racing, horse racing. What is the difference? And what if I did a rooster fighting, what is rooster fighting different to boxing? Except the one is considered an animal and I might consider both animals. What about stump jumping? It's not, you know, why is there a discrimination here? Then it says on the page on numbers, so read this book, regulatory framework. While provincial regulators are successful in enforcing compliance within the industry, operators complain about lack of regulatory uniformity across the provinces. Now, are they all complying to the law? Do they all have minimum standards, or is that the lack in the provinces? And is there a lack of regulatory uniformity so that the one province can actually compete against the other province? Why is it not organized? You see, there's a lot of stuff here that says we must bring in regulations. We must bring in new legislation. So this is why I'm beginning to say, do we accept the report? It's an old report, so we've seen it before. So yes, we accept it, but see, that's the end of the conversation. And what about time frames going ahead now? What legislation must all be looked at? What's the strategic plan on the table? And where are we going with that? And only then, when we have looked at all the things that must be done, we must see what we can do until the end of the middle of next year and do what has to be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, I relate to the online gambling, and I think I've asked the same question previously. How do we make sure that it is safe for the children under 18? Thank you. Chairperson, also on farm fees, interesting to note in the report that farm fees in a PDI subject. I know South Diego, and my colleague didn't ask me what we found, and I said, well, it's something that we knew as a PDI, as a party, as a party. When will it be regulated? Why is it not regulated? South has been legal as long as I knew that there is a PDI. Thank you.
Thank you.
Some of the issues have been done. You know, the question I have is what recourse would gamblers have? You know, banks have said, I've never seen banks so honest. They've said, we can't have it. We don't have capacity. Now, what would be recourse? Either for gambler or or bank or whoever, should anything happen, there must be a sort of a response. Now, when a person has lost his money and I go to the bank, the person, you know, I told them that I can't trust them. What's the recovery? Do you have also a plan, now referring you to the amount of person, supervised by Mr. Tuck? You know, this issue of regulation that has been raised by the two colleagues, I don't know whether it has, whether it's 50-50. Let's take pornography. Try and regulate it, look at TV, you say, hey, watch this film, age of restriction is 18. They are not even special. And you don't want children to watch that film. All they do is look at the program and the student is coming and they just don't sleep. With their cell phone time perfectly, they wake up to watch. So, they have tried to regulate it to say 18 or 16 or 14 or whatever. But it's the same issue with the regulation. Honorable Kisewa was saying, you regulate the site, you come out the site. And if you don't have the spectrum, how do you do it? Also, lastly, you know, I'm one of the proponents of people that are over-regulation, where sometimes you're supposed to do this thing and finish it, but because of regulation, it takes down the time or too long the time to do something. Is there an alternative rather than regulation? No McDonald's would know. He tried to explain these things, didn't he? As well, also your strategy. You do this, you do this. But we always find the gap. Now, the oversight issue of all gambling, I think, is something we need to be doing something about it. Whether it's in the bingo machine or gambling somewhere or in a casino, I think a certain form of oversight is supposed to be established, whether through the owner or what have you. Because otherwise we will rely on what we are giving, whether for the owner and so on. I don't know whether we can come up with a certain form of oversight. And last but not least, have you contacted on your Facebook other relevant people, those who are even too badly opposed to gambling in general, to solicit their views, because we are a democratic country. You shouldn't tell us also about the people that only support this thing and so on. You know, there are those that are really against saying, other people in the society are saying this, and how do we protect them? I don't know any other question, McDonald, and whoever can respond.
Thank you, Honorable.
Just a minute. Honorable, the
sorry. Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know if I was able to put my petition today, but I have a problem. I have the recommendation. There are going to be funds allocated for to help those who be having problems in gambling. So I don't know if ever education and awareness can be able to prevent them before they take these funds that we need to go and help those who put themselves under this type of gambling. I don't know, but I'm a little bit jealous. Whether we're going to take the money and help the people who can give it to themselves. Why do we need this money to help the
people? Yeah, it reminds me of the fact that this thing is not a social event. This is business. People look into the bottom line. So there should be a form of, as I said, to address the issue of somebody else. There must be some intervention. It's a business. There must be some form of intervention in terms of company.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, I'm just asking because I was not expecting engagement, but I will try to talk to the issue that I have. Then my colleague for the gambling can give another perspective. And then another issue is a general approach, the way how I thought things will roll out one. This is a commission which is very independent from the GTI. The commission is independent from the GTI. So the GTI, this is not the GTI report. So the minister has not yet received. The minister actually said, instead of taking this and saying this is the report of the commission, he said, as a politician, let me go to my colleague, Parliament, and subject this commission report to Parliament. Because the parliamentarians have got constituencies. They are the right people to consult with the committee. And then thereafter, parliamentarians will write their own report based on their on this report, and therefore I will, as the minister, I will properly be advised. So if you take that up on that approach, then it changes the quality of the way I'm just advising. So the minister says, let me be advised by my colleagues in parliament. So therefore, parliament must write his own report and give it to the minister to say, here is my advice to you. And the minister then starts to formulate a policy. The policy informing the need of the legislature, the act. The gift informing the regulation. I'm describing the process of how things will be undertaken. So anyway, let me talk to this issue. That description is considered because this is not a DTI. That would go into one. Have we consulted people who are opposed to this? Yes, the commission did. So the report probably written by my chair. But the DTI, during policy formulation, will again go to the public and consult and produce the policy. And then again, the bill will have to be drafted based on the policy. The bill again subjected to consultation. And probably we'll be talking to the community where they consulted, as an example. So I'm not urging to answer the question. I will answer them, but I wanted to ask you after the thing. Okay, that's the description that I've given. Yes, let me go to different steps. I don't know answers to all of them. My colleagues will also ask you. Education and the output. Let me skip that one. Okay. I must confess that the timing of the honourable member connects to an
funding.
Funding. Funding is just different. I apologize.
That's
what we yes, there are many questions that is yes and no here and there, but at the same time, we call that. For the basis, yeah. Lack of uniformity in that process is an example, yes. There is a problem that we indicated. The recent one, more recent one, is like in Lima, I saw it in the Western Cape newspaper, on the liquor of 21 years, raised from 18 to 21, 7 times. Even in gambling like that, we have a problem that you have 21 states in Western Cape. And how they like it. But I also learned that the KZN is also consulting. They are opposed to Sunday, as an example. How they say Sunday. You see, in a secular state, with one government, national, protein, and the like, we are saying we are having a problem of this issue. So I'm just emphasizing the issue of saying norms and standards must be explained. So we are facing your time if you agree with the issue of putting norms and standards of the cost at that level. I think that's what we are about. So the FAFI issue, it was agreed that it would be a letter of FAFI. But FAFI is the report that we saw from another committee without preempting is that the DTI was also instructed to do further research on FAFI. As for now, it remains illegal. As for now, it remains illegal. That was the recommendation. But we must do a research. Honorable Abraham is also saying she is for the PDI. So we cannot just take a decision without doing further research. Because the Commission agreed that because of time constraints, they could not go deeper. So therefore, the DTI should commission another report or commission and then come with something that can assist the police. But that does not take away the issue of Honorable House to take decisions where they can and recommend the minister. But that report may come later. You don't have to come with what we call it omnibus. It's an act that regulates everything now. We can do it in faith. That's how, as far as I can ask you that. And then I would still come back to other issues, but Honorable Khan, the question on education to gamblers. You say you are jealous, you buy this money going to the people who subjected themselves to this deal instead of that money going to the poor, am I right? A counseling. So my colleague will also ask you, if I understand you, is that counseling, just for now, the contribution is very volatile. Some of the school thought is that it must be compulsory, a voluntary process. So in the company law, it's interpreted that there's what we call social responsibility for company. So by the same, in the same vein, one may claim that the casinos who are opening their doors doing gambling activity, when somebody is injured because of their activity, why can't we contribute to remedy that person that they so therefore they must also contribute, not voluntarily, according to some, in a mandatory way. And those who said as if the money is too small. Therefore we may demand that the percentage is 0.01% in tooling. Why can't we go up the public but I'm showing my understanding because what we want to do. We can do it by instructed as a recommendation. To say companies who are in the gambling activities to ask you in contributing a lot of money in order to rehabilitate the people who are interested in their activities. Education and awareness, that's what it says to me. And my colleagues may also come to the party on this issue. But there are still a lot of questions which are, it's not better for me to go through all of them and then let me add. And then the DDG is actually may also assist. But there is also the issue of online gambling. Online gambling is a problem, internet is a problem. But we are seeing other countries have at least attempted to do something. Here in South Africa, we don't have inspectors. Private inspector, and then the department concerned agreed that they will establish inspectors. And for now, they're not here. But this is something that cannot be said by officials like myself. It needs to go to the highest level, including the minister, to talk about the framework. Therefore, we can talk about benchmarking with countries that are regulating internet. So we have the issue, as an example, of musicians who are dying of poker because we have the police who want to deal with piracy of the cities and the like. But people are downloading them because we are not regulating it properly. Therefore, we need to apply our minds to that as an example. So there are countries who are already advanced in that area, like advertising. Maybe WikiLeaks, say, I've seen the internet provider so and so is not registered with the authority themselves. So everybody knows that this one is an illegal one. That can be done, but in South Africa we're not doing that. This is an attempt that other countries have tried to do. So why can't we copy what can work in South Africa? I'm not coming with the issue of saying we know everything in the area of internet regulation. So the issue of online gambling isn't being regulated as other countries are doing. And then we agree that when you close this gap, another gap is coming. But that is the nature of regulation and the criminal activity. We cannot say that because people, when we want to close this gap, because they become more innovative, and then we stay away with regulation. So regulation is there to give solutions, and then when the allow me to use the criminal, where the criminals become more innovative, then we must also surpass them. We must also overtake them. So I think that's the nature of the game. But we cannot just say regulation, because the criminals are winning, therefore we throw the labels in the air. And then the issue of page 75, decline of the data. In other words, the data is old. Yes, we agree. We agree that the data is old. But it can form the base, it can form the reader to say that's where we were, whether the data is old or in the area of the economic decline that we have, we don't know. Tomorrow we may have a robust growing economy tomorrow. But I think this one is just a means to inform you that things were going very well ever since the lotto started, the gambling started, but because of the economic downturn, I think they've changed. But I think it is explaining some of the issues. And then the issue of professionalizing the company and the issue of allow the minister to take a decision if there is no quorum. Yes, I think within the context it was agreed that things are not functioning well because the quorum defeats the purpose of meeting and taking decisions. And therefore, the MECs and the minister will have to change the way how they work. They must attend meetings and take appropriate decisions. I think that's the thing. The other thing is that if they are not attending, what should we do? Should we just away with the council, or should we allow decisions to be taken? Like this and other, I mean, this sends people who do not have to vote in town. As an example, yeah, we can have the robot debate, but when we come to decisions are not taken. So there was a fear that allowed the minister also to take the decision, and maybe with the coming of the regulation, consulting with the MEC, the policy, and implement the regulation in order to improve the efficiency, because for now things are not working. And then, but ever since, I think the attendance of the MEC is working very well. It's working very well as for now. But we cannot depend on individual. It's better to put systems in place to deal with whoever will be the member of that policy council. And then trying to come to the distribution agency, the members use the full time of the board. The member is the distribution agency that adjudicates and distributes the money. We need to be full time. Yes, the understanding is correct. So we are agreeing on that. The bill will also come with such a situation. And then the issue of on page 101, regulators, small amount of 0.01%. I think we have talked to it. Today the regulators really need to have a harmonized norms and standards, and then the minimum threshold, and then they can deviate according to the procedures as time goes on, but on norms and standards that are universally agreed at the policy level. It must be implemented also in their legislation. I think that's where we are going. And then I'm finishing the chair. What would be a report since the banks are saying they're not doing anything? I think one of the reports is to talk to the politicians. These banks are regulated. Our minister has a role, as I said. Communication department is a role in terms of the Communication Transition Act of 2002. They've got a role. The police have got a role. So that cluster of come with the legislation, and each one should see to it that it is a fault problem. In other countries, they are doing it. But here, there was a confession from the communication department that you say we don't have cyber impact. The cloning of certain issues, laundering money, laundering, the banks are regulated. We need to tell the people. They don't regulate this stuff. If there is no capacity, there is this issue of crime that we don't have capacity. We don't start by doing anything to build capacity. If capacity is not there, let's talk about the cost of building that capacity. But not just to say we don't have capacity and then our borders, I mean the cyber environment, there are no inspectors. So many countries are dealing with security issues. So this class of ministers should come to a situation where they demand that the banks should provide a solution in that. The issue of do you have a plan for coming with a cyber inspector, I think I'm answering it now. That platter should deal with that. Over-regulation. Yes, we don't want to over-regulate. We are saying, as a member that we said, the online building is not being regulated. We want to regulate it, taking into account that they want to run a business, then we need to come with a conducive environment of encouraging them to do legal issues, not to trade with our people. And then when there are no, somebody is injured along the way, there is no solution, there is no enforcement, because online also deal with cross-bound security, cross-boundaries, and the issue of minors. Minors are given. Parents should also provide the environment where maybe you don't give them the input to go and play, because people who are online generally, it will be different from the ads. So you find that these issues are coming, so the minors are playing, but they may not be owning their ads, or have to be owned by the parents. So all in all is that we don't want to offer regulation. We just want to regulate like other jurisdictions. So therefore, if there is money laundering and the other, there is not a revenue that comes back to them. So all in all is that I can ask maybe my compatriots to assist in answering the
question.
Honourable
Member for I suspect my colleague McDonald has covered quite a lot of ground in terms of the questions that were raised. But I think when we started the meeting, I remember the DG was saying that this report is a report of the Commission, and the Select Committee will have to look at recommendations that are done by the members of the portfolio committee. But we had an opportunity of engaging quite extensively with the portfolio, the training industry portfolio committee last year. And they raised quite fundamental questions. Some of them are similar, and a lot of them were able to address. However, I think the DG was saying, because the NCOP derives from the provinces, it will be critical that these recommendations of this report are also flagged with the provinces, particularly because of the contact competition. So I think what McDonald was saying is that I think he was asking the right guys that these are the recommendations. We have extensively engaged with the National Assembly. I think on the 7th of March, they gave us a report on also the matters that they are raising to the Minister for consideration. So my sense is that once honorable members have now engaged with these matters, it will be useful that we get direction on the extent to which they will be impacting the policy. Indeed, I just want to reiterate that the point that was raised by Nelson, why is there no harmonization? The point is that in this country we have 10 legislations that are 10 acts that are regulating one sector. So there is a burden of dissimilarities, and that's a fundamental weakness of how we regulate the sector. And over and above that, I think one of the things that our minister said, he also said, this is quite interesting, that while other people are discussing the growth or the decline of their sector. The gambling sector has never stepped around from the winter to the edge. Today, is this a growing economic sector in this country? If it does shrink because of global shrinkage, global economic depression, what is it that we're seeing in the region? And that discussion will address what a member in Panamina was saying about when do you decide when the greenhouse against horse race. But as a country, we need both the dialogue and to say, as regulators and also as legislators, we say, in this country, these are the forms of getting that we will regulate. These we will not. These would actually be offered special places where they select activities. So, the only short of it is, I think, first and foremost, we as national level board as a regulator are happy that we members have found time to engage with the content. And what we do like to see is just a process of how the members want to handle this report, because that would help us to work. And finally, before I start talking, the point we started from, I think the DG started from there, saying that we have an act that was promulgated 2004. A lot of things have happened in the country and outside us in relation to this particular sector. So we as the NGB are saying it is time we overhaul this critical act to address not everything, but quite fundamental things that have been raised in this report and that have been shared with our region. Thank you.
Yeah, before I
start,
I
want to
I'll give you challenges on the TTC, in fact, on what you have already commented, both of you. This is actually what we're going to look at. And this is what we are facing. The issue of 10X, that is what we interpret as over-regulation. Wanting the same thing, but you over-regulate by having to break the regulation. And also that it is quite true that we as a community are also going to revert back to you with our report, you know, and our recommendations also. So that is how the process is really going to unfold. Chairperson Hess and then the DDT.
Thank you,
Chair.
I think all I want to say is that in the matter of online gambling, we obviously have studied what's happening around the world, and I just want to give members the comfort that as the National Gambling Board, we are continuously researching. So post-2015, we have continued to do research, so we have newer updated data that first of all indicate our propensity to gamble, secondly, whether there's a decrease, and there is a decrease in problem gambling, the areas of concern, you know, and one of the key areas of concern obviously is the area of online gambling, because it's unregulated and it's illegal in the country, but clearly in the national research has indicated that that's the area where people are unprotected, they gamble, and the area of growing in responsible gambling is increasing. So now we don't have a legal framework, but our statistics indicate that it's a real problem even in the country. In the meantime, I think in 2013 this year, the U.S. has for a long time not provided the legal framework for it, but they have just agreed. Now, you ask, can we do it? I think South Africa, the economy, seems to be one of the leading countries in the continent. But Tanzania, for instance, because we work with the continent, so has just decided in some scale to regulate and legalize online gambling. I want to say the continent is looking at South Africa because we are part of a regulatory forum for it. And in this area, we've really been slow in taking the lead because we are debating and obviously waiting on the leadership in a political realm to guide us in this area. But I thought I want to just give you comfort that we are continuously building updated research, so it's not that we haven't got data about what's happening currently in South Africa on both the area of gambling as well as the area of the increase or decrease of problem gambling and who is the vulnerable and what impact does that have on our work, but particularly on the area of the online gambling and the statistics on the problem gambling in that area is very clear that it's a higher LSM. higher educational group as well as largely thanks in particular democratic ways.
Before you teach it, you come from the
Chairperson, when it, I sort of get the impression that there's a comfort zone here, and that nobody is doing nothing because it's comfortable to gamble, and there's many loopholes, and nobody is coming up with the necessary cards on the table, and this is where we go. And I give that to my first opportunity to speak, where what are we going to do next? And so I want to ask, who's holding who to answer? Because somebody is holding somebody to answer. And then I want to ask the online betting, online gambling community that's present here, have they submitted drafts of possible legislation that we can start working on and that we can start looking at? Has it been done and can we work from there? I think it's very important that we look at that. We mustn't just say this is, you know, talk, talk, talk. We must now
be going. Before you, it is expected of us that we do the job. We have to propose legislation or any amendment with regard to this. So one day we are going to sit with the community. One of these days we will call you when you are meeting your constituency. We look at the report. You give us what you say, and we compile our own report, then we submit with our own recommendation. And then say to the department, we suggest you change the text, this law, to do one, two, and three. So that is the process, that is how the process is going to unfold. So I'm not sure whether it is as a committee that that would be delaying the process. So as soon as you supposed to submit this report, we must submit it. Yes, it's within the next 2 months, must be there. Then the wheels will start turning. Honorable Sinclair, there are no gambling places in the Northern
Territory. There's a few, Chair, but they're few and far between. can I get another number? Are you still dealing with it? Because Honorable Fonda is running now. She chipped in. Can I get?
I'm not sure whether let me do the duty for the challenge. Anticipation he will answer your question if you're going to answer.
Thank you, Chair. I apologize because I'm not really had all of the questions, but I just want to add to some of the aspects that my colleagues have responded to. Firstly, I think, Chair, we need to ensure that the committee fully understands the issue around online gambling versus interactive gambling. So that when we talk about them here, we don't talk as if it's one and the same thing. Yes, all of them are played on some computer or some on online, but it's not necessarily one and the same thing. And in the recommendations by the JRC, they specifically indicated the aspect around online gambling. There are policy issues that arise from that. And so I think that needs to be taken into consideration. Online gambling basically would mean that, for instance, even activities that are in the casino could be accessed online when you're sitting on your couch. So why that has a policy implication is that the rationale around regulating has certain elements in terms of location of casinos or so forth and so forth. So it's not an issue that we need to just interrogate without understanding the distinction and the implication. In regards to interactive gambling, that has been passed as the law in South Africa. We just need the guidance in regards to implementation because it was put on hold to say, but have we actually considered the whole sphere of gambling? But we don't deal with issues on a piecemeal basis. And that is also intended to give certainty to the industry itself, so the industry knows what it is that we are saying going to allow in the country. So that when they make investment decisions, that's what they can make investment decisions that are based on what the policy of this country is saying around those issues. So I think
I just thought I should emphasize that because sometimes we can just speak about them because people understand them and they work with them on a daily basis. But I think there is very, very clear distinction. There is a policy around interactive gambling. There is a law that seeks to legalize it in South Africa. We're just waiting to have it implemented as soon as the regulations are finalized. So that is the clarification that I wanted to mention. There's also the other aspect of the continuous engagement that we've had as a department and a regulator to say that we must not find ourselves deceiving the country in terms of the capability or the capacity of us enforcing this legislation that we are putting in place. That question has been asked to us time and again. If we are not able to deal with the illegal, the online emails that come to your systems and asking you to play, if we cannot even deal with those people that are doing it right now illegally, how are we going to be in a position to actually deal with it when it's legalized? How are we going to now take the ones that are illegal from the ones that are legal? So we must be in a position to come back to you and tell you what the capacity is going to be, what is required in terms of resources to do that, and how we're going to get those resources. So that you can also feel comfortable that we, and that is the process that we're working on, just because interactive in there. It's not about the lack of clarity on policy, it's not about the fact that there's no law. On that one, it's the policy, there's the law, it's just the implementation that are waiting, but we need to give you assurance as well that we will be in a position to deal with that aspect. Chair, the other aspect that was mentioned, I think McDonald elaborated on that, around the council. I think one of the things is that in terms of the Act, the council is supposed to have at least two meetings. But the meetings are not the only way of making decisions. So when we had challenges around the meeting, we agree that in fact we need to strengthen that role so that it can improve cooperative governance and make concurrent jurisdiction easy in this space. So we have been improving in that space to have written consultations, which then makes easier for decisions to be made in terms of regulations, in terms of whatever that needs to be there in terms of implementation. But we do agree that there's a need to enhance just the effectiveness on that. But over and above, what we have done is to work on the norms and standards. What we find is that the national legislation does provide a framework, but it doesn't in itself become the norms and standards. So which means that each and every province can actually deviate from it. So what we, to deal with a 10X action, because what we find is that it will work better if the norms and standards are set by the national legislation, and everything else that is then implemented in the province is then is in line with the norms and standards, so that there isn't inconsistencies and all of the regulatory burden of an inverter in the country having to go to each province having different requirements and so forth and so forth. Those are things that we've engaged on, and there are documents that have been consulted on, and then we'll also have public consultations around those issues so that we can get also the input of the industry in that, because we have, as government, interacted on those, and we are continuing to engage on those things. So that is also just to improve the issue around concurrent jurisdiction, to make it easier for us to coordinate. But we do not promise, Chair, that it's going to be the best solution, but we can obviously, from the committee, if there is any other guidance that the committee thinks we can look at, I think we'd appreciate that. But we have been doing a number of other issues in the department with the regulator as well as the provinces to try and identify some of the gaps that we identified in the CRC, and in the meantime work on those things. So of course waiting documents but awaiting guidance to be told where to go. The last thing that I thought I should also talk to is the issue around the distribution agencies in relation to lotteries. I think what we have obviously consciously as a department done is to proceed with the policy in regard to lotteries in the manner that it was adopted. And one of the reasons is because we did not see in the GRC that there's a whole lot of recommendations that were made that has got significant implications for the lotteries. So it doesn't affect the fundamental policy decision, but there are other implementation issues that were raised which we then deal with. So the legislation in regards to that part is in the process, and I think the deal will be in cabinet, in the next cabinet meeting. So the policy was adopted, it went through public consultation, so it was the policy and the bill that addresses some of the issues that members had concerns about in regards to the lottery space.
But I don't think that in that case there's still confusion. I think we are clear in terms of what the policy position is, but we need guidance in regards to the gambling industry. I think guidance for ourselves, but as well as industry, because one of the things that we said is that if there's no certainty around where we're going, then we are unable to actually also run. But at the same time, a whole lot of other things that we need to assess in terms of the social implications. We're not able to proceed on some of those issues and make decisions and make rules because we don't have direction.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for the interesting answers. Jane, if we start just with the issue about this council, I'm confused about this council because there must be very very clear directions in terms of what the council must do, what is the process of appointments, and so on and so forth. Certainly the minister must have been. But it seems to me that there's a at the moment that the council is not a statutory body on its own. And there's a continuously interference from the minister and so on and so forth. Now, what I always say is, Mr. Nsengu, you don't kill the cow because you don't like the milk. You know? Keep the cow, but feed it different fodder that you get the right milk. But you have to kill the cow. That's the problem, and the council in terms of my understanding is a statutory body. It must be there. But the minister, when the thing is not what's his name, functioning, he said no, let me and the MEC take over that responsibility. That can never be the intent. Yeah, the other issue is the issue about the banking council. We had a lot of remarks about the banking industry, but the banking council engaged us. I will comment on numerous occasions on different matters, and I think they are an instrumental part of this whole process, so maybe we must also engage them specifically regarding the interactive so. Then, actually, the second last remark is one about the rehabilitation, and maybe I must try and draw the parallel with the mining industry, you know? The mines go, they mine, and then they leave something behind that they must rehabilitate. Now, if we can use that same parallel, in this industry. Gambling industry go, people come, enjoy themselves, small percentage destroy them. Now, I don't know if it's the cat in the kitchen now, but don't you think objectively that we must start to look at some legislation here that will address that issue about rehabilitation, that the industry has got a greater responsibility to deal with that with that over rehabilitation. Because you know, in the mining license, when you apply, you must provide your social and labor plan. What are you going to do with the corpses that you leave behind? And I honestly think it's something that we're not facing. And maybe the departments and the powers that we must consider that. Then the last issue, Chair, is there's more and more on the internet a stampede of so-called forex trading. But I've got a suspicion that many of this has got to do with some form of gambling. But it's outside the ambit of formal gambling. Don't you think we must also deal with that? Thank you, sir.
I was supposed to give you an opportunity earlier on. We'll talk about this also.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members, for allowing me the opportunity to offer the question. Let me come directly to the issue of the Banking Council. The fortunate part is I'm the very person engaged with the Banking Council. I also sit with the reference, the surveillance department in terms of the mining going to China, South Africa, the three monitoring zones, which is including Botswana, Lesotho, Namibia, and also international. And I should put it clear that the banks are reluctant to put measures in place. I'm going to add our McDonald to a thing that if you put proper regulation where they are found guilty in terms of certain control measures which they don't put, they will come to the party. As we speak to you today, in our meeting, the engagement between the surveillance department, which is the Reserve Bank, and the banking party, they have money to send to us, illegal gambling money, from online gambling to a tune of 2 million, which means there is something that they can do. I've got, you know, several cases from your life, so the Standard Bank and so on, who have put measures proactively, and they have managed to try certain amounts, although not eloquent numbers that we'd want to, but as a starting point to say we can identify. So all that I'm trying to say is there is mechanism for them to identify, although there are challenges, but if you sit down with them, drill the issue down to the bone, we will be able to find a mechanism. There is nothing like we can't find a mechanism. It's just an issue of selective, because we've got money that was given to us, and how do they do that if there was no mechanism? There are obviously challenges which you can sit down with them and write a plan, right, in terms of this. Coming back to the issue of internet gambling, how are we going to really find to make it to the island? I'm going to utter also on the chairperson's remarks where he said, time and again, you know, we learn a lot on internet gambling, a part of the international community as far as our engagement is concerned. And we have seen a number of measures which have been implemented in other jurisdictions which created the so-called island, which has been uttered by one of the honorable members, that how do we create and protect this area of gambling. For instance, if you use the .co.za domain as opposed to an international domain of the .com, you'll be able to control them because they are registered in the country, they are regulated in the country. So it could be one of the requirements that you put, that if you apply for a license, this is what you say is the requirement, right? Two, the issue of mutual legal assistance. Countries that have got mutual legal assistance, which to an extent that if players are in that country, you can be able to prosecute them if replicating operators that were hand in glove with us are in that country, will be able to prosecute them. Those who are members of ATAS, they have those controls, which is money laundering controls, and are part of ATAS, and they are approved with those controls. As far as the requirements that you can put to reinforce this online gambling environment to an extent that there is minimal controls, and secondly, you can be able to engage with them through these secondary parties that form the basis of your control. For instance, if they are part of that through SMEC, if you are here, you can make those mechanisms to talk to them or to enforce certain regulatory measures that you want to, because if they are breaching those, they will be losing that kind of membership. So there are a number of issues that we have explored and that we've looked into other countries to create the so-called island in terms of this. Another question came from the sports betting front, that has it been addressed in the report? The sports betting issue has been addressed in the report. It came into two forms. Firstly, the sports school, where the report has a problem with it because it's regulated by two entities of gambling that we have, which is the gambling board and the lottery board. From the lottery board point of view, the lottery act is clear. It says this is the domain of the lottery board. However, it says from those who had privileges in the past that were given to them to regulate sports betting, sports schools, that they shall continue them. That is why we have found the likes of MLL also having sports school and the lottery having sports school. It's an issue that we are engaging with them because they're saying somewhere this transitional provision should come to an end such that is regulated only by the lottery board. So we've got an engagement talking to them. We will come somewhere to a consensus. If we can't, we take back the issue to the minister to say this is the problem, because there was no timeline to that continuation of privileges given from the party constitution prior to the existence of the Lottery Act. And secondly, the report deals with it from a form of bookmaking, where they are saying there should be that contribution that goes towards the sport that they are deriving a benefit from, which is particularly here horse racing. And secondly, the issue of the open bet. You know, there has been a ruling with the open bet, but the report is saying that the bookmaker should not offer open bet. They are recommending. So the long and short, the issue of sports betting has been catered for in the report. Coming again to the difference between the greyhound racing, horse racing, and other forms of racing. What is key and fundamentally the issue of the racing component of, let me say, as an activity, because they might not all be earmarked. Other could even be cars, you know, when they race it and so on. I think let's separate the two issues. From a betting perspective, there are no issues with it. If any activity happens, betting should okay. The legislation framework is there because it's either a pool or a sport. If it's a pool, you put everything together and say, this is mine, the winner shares it. It's a fixed audit, right? By so much, I think so much. You know, 1 to 5, those kind of things. However, what becomes critical is the activity that we are talking about. Immediately, there's issues like cruelty of animals, you know. After effect of the racing, what happens to those animals? Or the sport itself, between animals, is so intensive that it comes to an element of cruelty where cocks are fighting, you know. They are fighting against each other, blood coming out of all those things. That is the element that we are saying. We should look it from a holistic point of view to say these are the principles of animal race. And then coming to that, you break down to the respective area that is identified when you say horse racing. There's not much cruelty to animals, but dog racing, there is cruelty to animals. Therefore, let's engage with the NSPCA and say, how are we going to deal with the issues or the challenges that come from a cruelty animal point of view after the dog cannot race or the dog, you know, are not eligible to raise them for mass to pass. So those are the issues that make the differentiation between this form of them, animal racing or forms of racing where people could go to on. The lack of uniformity, I think I talked a lot about it, but what you are saying, if I understand the question very well, is that there are no minimum standards there. That was a big question. And secondly, how is the uniformity not coming in if there should be standards? I think to give an example, there is an issue, for example, of a bookmaker who applies in province A. And they say, right, you can have a license, but you can have under that license an online operating environment and a direct shop. He goes to the second province, they say, no, you can't have an online environment, it's not allowed by us. That is what we call the lack of standardization, because as a unitary state, you should be able to apply and get the same privilege as another province, although operationally it might be different. I think it's those elements that we're trying to look at and say, let's standardize them in the normal standards by the national entity, like the National Assembly Court, where we say, if you apply for a bookmaker, it shall give you the following privileges, and this is how they shall be regulated. To understand that if you are a national operator, you shouldn't find yourself operating in province A and in province B, but you feel you are in two different countries. I think that is what we were referring to, that specifically. The issue of online gambling under the A control. I think here you'd have in the legislation, as we drafted it in 2008, you've got the primary controls and the secondary controls. From the primary controls, you have issues like registration, where you say, use this form of document to prove that you are of the right age to gamble. That will give you access, first access. Now the second access comes to the secondary instrument. You identify the form of financial instrument that can be used to do the betting, where that secondary document, which is the financial instrument, requires people of a particular age. So you have two controls in that sense. If, for instance, a credit card, there is no way a bank would give a credit card or customer under age, right? So you use those kind of instruments, but you will not allow issues like an ordinary bank card where a customer is under age and can't gamble with it, or an account opened with a cash that is deposited in the bank, because they don't ask your age. You understand? So those are the primary and secondary controls that one is put into it, let alone there might be compliance checks and fines that go with it. Right, and I think the issue of cyber investors, I know it's a very critical one to the extent that we always say the Department of Communications should come into it. Yes, they haven't put the issue of cyber investors in place, but let's remember that the CCPI, which is what we normally call the HOC, has got certain powers, and the cyber unit that has got power to do the inspection. The only challenge that we have with the duty, a challenge that we have generally in online gambling, is the classification in terms of the priority crime by the FATF of this illegal gambling. You know, when you have the different magnitudes of crime, it's not at a level where we come to engage with the DCPI and say, look, we've got this plethora of illegal activity that is taking place, therefore put resources to it, such that they can compromise resources to high crimes which are prevalent in the country to eat. Therefore, it starts slowly to fall by the side. But there are certain alternatives to cyber inspectors by the DOC, which are embraced in the FATF Act where the DPI operates, although it's just an issue of priority. And I think from the side of the question, these are the answers that I could give in terms of that. Thank you, sir.
Sure, I think I'm sure we do need to time, but I think if we have the quality to move on to questions, I'll just check with the colleagues and then see what we might have left out, so that then we can sort of speak on other questions. I think a number of areas which we have already closed on and indicated, but I think another thing that in asking a question about the cancer, you know, the role of the cancer, I think that needs to be clarified. Yes, the cancer is a statutory body that is intended to also adopt long-term standards in that space. It's comprised of the minister and the 9 MSPs. So it's not like a process of like they will be appointed, it is the structure is like that. So what has been challenged is just the availability to meet. But what we are saying is that it is important that the structure and function will be enhanced, be improved. So we have found other ways of also enhancing that through you know, the local standards that should be adopted in the legislation, which leaves, I think, a few things to be decided on an ongoing basis. But the basic things must be in the legislation, but also other processes for normal consultation to make sure that the decisions are made so that we can have. But we do agree that if you don't know the power of the system, it's not going to be able to do it. So, but yeah, that's the vital issue to check here is that, any issue that we may have left out, I think not Donald and the chairperson and then Chairman and the Crown.
Thanks,
Chair.
Yeah, hope what we're doing in terms of the outside issues, we have already started. So we will consult with them as we do whatever we did with our air. We were the ones who were in the second air. Another one was the second air. So I summarize those. We have to put them through the custom of the system. And then I believe that we are doing the process. Another one can come to the system. And then the last issue is to say, yes, the analysis is correct. The mind is correct. How to take the position so that we can think on the last issue. Reality is the community to keep it involved because of the effort that we do. I think the same analysis can apply. So we take the principle of the so I think from the internet for us trading again, there is a problem that we may see this in the DCI issue in it. But when you go to the analysis, sometimes the limitation is the analysis. So the also plan will also consider maybe this as far as trading.
The gambling
fault. Therefore, the responsibility in terms of that has to impact. And so it cannot say, I cannot afford it because I'm not there. Your body is guarding the responsibility. So similarly, once we make this goal, we can actually put responsibility where it's supposed to be for proper coordination. The issue part of the cyber investor is very critical, and there will be lots of resources required in that space. So that code of order will be required.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure the next step is that you're going to meet with the committee and submit our report and recommendations to the department. And definitely we are going to meet other volunteers and researchers. Thank you very much, all of you, for coming and taking part in this information. The meeting is very good. Thank you.
We wanted to bring this closer to summarize the
question.
Sorry?